Mishkan means tabernacle. David, of course, was king of Israel. When he was king, things were good because he was a righteous king. When leadership is righteous, things go well. When leadership is crooked, not so well. Could be why this country's going down the tubes. Everybody gets what they want and what they deserve. But anyway, praise the Lord that since we're in a place called the Tabernacle of David, David was, of course, a man after God's own heart. And that's the report that we should all be striving for, that we have a heart for the Lord, that we don't just honor him with our lips like he told the religious leaders of his day. He said, you honor me with your lips, your heart is far from me. And when that happens, he's not impressed. He's impressed when we love him with all of our heart. And when we love him with all of our heart, we live. And when we don't love him with our heart, we die. So I'm always talking about loving God and staying close to God and loving him with our heart and worshiping him and loving him in spirit and in truth, because that is what eternal life is about. And it's not, people say it's difficult. It's more difficult to stay away from God than to get close to God. And, praise God for everyone that diligently seeks him, because he said he rewards those who do that. If you diligently seek him, you get rewarded. If you run away from him, you get rewarded also. It's called death. The wages of sin is death. But praise God, we're here. We're in a place called, as I said, the Tabernacle of David. We're going to read a psalm from King David. Heavy psalm. The Lord put Psalm 88 in my heart to read tonight. It's kind of a heavy psalm. David was having some trouble, was feeling lonely, was feeling separated from God. How many know sometimes, even though we're children of God, sometimes we feel that the Lord is far from us, and that somehow he's abandoned us, which he never does, but you feel that way. If you can't say amen, say oh me, but it's a heavy psalm. Let's see if we can relate to it. Psalm 88. O Lord, God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before you. Let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear to my cry. For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draws near unto the grave. I am counted with them that go down into the pit. I am as a man that has no strength, free among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, whom you remembered no more. They are cut off from your hand. You have laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the deeps. Your wrath lies hard upon me, and you have afflicted me with all your waves. You have put away my acquaintance far from me. You have made me an abomination to them. I am shut up, and I cannot come forth. My eye mourns by reason of affliction. Lord, I have called daily upon you. I have stretched out my hands to you. Will you show wonders to the dead? Shall the dead arise and praise you? Shall your loving kindness be declared in the grave, or your faithfulness in destruction? Shall your wonders be known in the dark, and your righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? But unto you have I cried, O Lord, and in the morning shall my prayer prevent thee. Lord, why cast thou off my soul? Why hide thou your face from me? I am afflicted and ready to die from my youth up. While I suffer your terrors, I am distracted. Your fierce wrath goes over me. Your terrors have cut me off. They came around about me daily like water. They compassed me about together. Lover and friend have you put far from me, and my acquaintance into darkness. Amen. Poor David. Poor King David. Sometimes we have bad days, bad weeks. We've all been there. We can all relate to that kind of, that kind of behavior and that kind of thinking. I mean, it's beautiful that Yeshua said he would never leave us or forsake us. And sometimes we feel so far away from him. Sad. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we praise you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you that when we call, you answer, that when we seek, we find you, that when we knock, you open to us, that you will never deny yourself to us. Father God, thank you and praise you that you will never leave us or forsake us. Thank you for the blood of Messiah Yeshua that covers a multitude of sin. Teach us your way, your truth, your life, that we may walk in this world the way Messiah, our Savior, walked in this world. Teach us his truth, his life, his way. Father God, we thank you and praise you for everything you've done in our lives to this very moment, knowing that all things do work together for the good because we love you and because you have called us for this purpose, to be conformed to the image of your Son. Thank you, Father God, for putting people together from every background here in the Mishkan for the same purpose, to conform each and every one of us into the image of your Son. And thank you, Lord, for this truth that sets every captive free. And Lord, as we rejoice in our Savior tonight, our names written in heaven, Father God, your Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are your sons and we are your daughters. Our hearts ache for family members, friends, co-workers, neighbors whose names are not written in heaven, who do not know you, who have not tasted and seen that you are good. We pray for every one of these individuals, Father, that you would draw them the way you drew us. Let them taste and see what we're tasting and seeing. Let them have what we have. And Father God, as we look around this room and there are brothers and sisters who could not be here tonight for whatever reason, we reach out to them in agreement. Father God, we touch them, that you would touch them, Father, that you would set the captives free and that you would liberate them from whatever problem, physical, spiritual, work. Father, open doors as nothing is too hard for you, Lord. We thank you in advance for everything you're doing for them. And Father, that they would come here and testify of what you have done in their lives among the brethren here. And Father God, bless those watching on the internet. Bless us. Lead us into all truth by your holy words, by your written words. Father God, that we may hide your words in our hearts, that we may learn not to sin against you. And Father in heaven, we just praise you and thank you for giving us power over all the power of the enemy to tread on them instead of them treading on us. And we take this authority tonight in the name of Yeshua, commanding every unclean spirit out of this place, out of this house, out of this neighborhood, out of our lives, and canceling and breaking every assignment of the enemy against us individually, against the congregation of the living God. In the name of Yeshua, we command every unclean spirit out of this place. And Father in heaven, we thank you that the gates of hell have not prevailed against your house, the Mishkan. Thank you, Lord, for everything you've done here. And Father God, we just praise you and thank you tonight together in agreement in the name above every name, the name Yeshua, HaMashiach, the world knows him as Jesus the Christ. In his name we pray, and the people of God said, amen, amen. Last week we were talking about God giving us power over all the power of the enemy. I think that most people would agree that the power that God has given us over the power of the enemy is his power, his Holy Spirit. I mean, the only difference between us and them, those people that don't know the Lord, is that we are born again of the Spirit of God. We have the Holy Spirit. As we sang tonight, that we are the temple now of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells now within people. He didn't do this under the first covenant, or only a few actually had this privilege that were actually anointed by the Holy Spirit, priests, kings, privileged few. Now, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and you can receive the Holy Spirit and have the Holy Spirit inside each and every one of you. But if you don't know how to operate in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit and walk in this power, there's no difference between us and someone who's not even saved. That's what Paul wrote in Galatians 4 and 1. We said this last week, that as long as the heir, because once you're born again, once you have the Holy Spirit, once you're under the blood of Messiah, Yeshua, we're full heirs of God through Messiah. In other words, you can't be an heir of the Father if you don't go through the Son. Because in John 14, said, no man comes unto the Father but by me. And he said, I'm the door. If any man enter any other way, he's a thief and a robber. So if you try to reach our Father who is in heaven in any other way other than Yeshua, he calls you a thief and a robber. God has given us the door, and God has opened the door for us and encouraged us to walk this way, and yet we want to do things our own way. And it says the chastisement of our peace, that each man would go in his own way, Isaiah 53, each man to his own way. And that chastisement, that punishment was on him. The punishment of doing things our own way and not exactly his way. And I mean, I'm still amazed that people still want to make up their own thing when we have the perfect walk demonstrated in the life of the Messiah. Exactly how to do things in a perfect way. And people want to argue with that, and people want to make up their own things. I don't get it. I mean, I'm just amazed that people are just not more focused on what he said and how he said it and what he did. And so go with me to Luke chapter 10, which is where we started off last week. There's something really important here, because in verse 17, it says the 70 returned again with joy. In other words, he had 70 people he had trained, called disciples. In Hebrew, it's Talmudim. In verse 17, it says they returned again and they with joy. I mean, they were happy. What were they happy about? So they said, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through Mary's name. She's the mother of God. No, they didn't say that. They said the devils were subject unto them. In other words, they were exercising authority over the demons in the name of Yeshua. Now, if I was the devil, which thank God I'm not, I acted like the devil before. You know, that's like the Lord told the Pharisees, you do the works of your father. Your father is the devil. That's the way I do the works of my father. You do the works of your. And everyone here has done the works of the devil. Come on now. If you can't say amen, say oh me. I'm not the only guilty party here. But anyway, if I was the adversary and there was this much power in the name of Yeshua, I would say and do anything to get you off the name. I mean, I've been in leadership now 30 years. I've seen every wind of doctrine trying to pull us off the name of Jesus, off the name Yeshua. I've heard every reason. And I don't blame the adversary for bringing all these reasons to get us off the name Yeshua. Because they said the devils are subject to us in your name. Now, there's no other name that the devils are subject to. There's no other name given under heaven where you can be saved. Yea or nay? In other words, if salvation is in the name Yeshua, if the devils are subject to us, in other words, we can exercise power over them, and the power over the adversary is the name Yeshua. I mean, I would say anything or do anything to get you off that name, not to use that name. But they said, the devils are subject to us through your name. And then he said to them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Now he describes the adversary, where he came from and how he got here. And then he said, behold, I give to you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I'm giving you power over all the power of the enemy. In other words, we discussed this before. People want to say, I'm a sinner. It's like if you give up alcohol. You know, you go to these Alcoholic Anonymous meetings. You say, you've given up alcohol, but then you stand there and go, I'm an alcoholic. No, you used to be an alcoholic, and you no longer drink. Why are you claiming you're an alcoholic when you no longer touch liquor? So why are we claiming we're sinners? In other words, we're doing the works of the devil when we're not supposed to do the works of the devil anymore. I was a sinner. Now I'm under the blood of Yeshua. All of my sins have been forgiven. And now I've been given the power through the Holy Spirit over all the power of the enemy. Why would I give the enemy any power anymore or any credit for anything when God said, I'm giving you power over all his power? Why are we admitting that he has some kind of power over us? Oh, brother, you're a sinner, saved by grace. You're always going to sin. You're never going to stop. Did he say that? We made this stuff up. Why are we talking this way? Why are we speaking like this? Now, do we trip? Do we fall into sin? But is that our nature now? Do we now have a sin nature or do we have now a holy nature? Because I noticed in the Bible that whatever God touches is holy. In other words, I think he told Joshua that when the ground he was standing on was holy because God touched the ground. Now, didn't God curse the ground? But what happens when God touches something that's cursed? It's holy. And then the Bible says, be holy because he's holy. You can't be holy when you're cursed, when you're under the curse. But if God touches you, you're no longer cursed. You're no longer under a curse. Cursed is he who hung on a tree. In other words, he hung on the cross to take the curse off of us. And so we no longer can say, I'm cursed. You know, I'm under family curses. No, you're not. You were under a family curse before you accepted the Lord in your life. We don't have to break any curses off you. They're gone. Why would you give the devil any credit in your life? As I said last week, every one of my family members died of cancer. That's our family curse. I said, I will not die of cancer because Yeshua paid the price on the cross with his blood for this curse that was on my family. The curse stopped the minute that I accepted him in my life. And I am one of the oldest living males because everyone died prematurely of cancer. Now, am I running around, oh, I'm going to get cancer because I have a history of family, I have a family history of cancer? No, I don't care what my family history was. My family history was they're a bunch of atheists. They were subject to everything of the curses of the Bible. All the curses have been broken in my life because I'm one of the first Jewish people in my family that accepted Yeshua as his Savior and paid for. I mean, what happened to them is their problem. I don't want their problems. I got out of the problem when I accepted Yeshua in my life. It either is or it isn't. It works or it doesn't. Either he's telling the truth or he's lying. Because he said, I'm giving you some power of the enemy. He said, I'm giving you power over all the power of the enemy. The disciples come back saying, even the devils are subject to us through your name. I mean, it's powerful. Go with me to John 14. He does a lot of explaining here in John 14. We got to do some explaining here. Verse 1, John 14 and 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Somebody said, I believe in God. He said, believe also in me. Why would he say, believe in me? Because they didn't believe in him. Why else would he say that? They didn't trust him. They didn't believe him. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where you go, I know. You know, and the way you know. So Thomas said to him in verse 5, Lord, we know not where you're going, and how can we know the way? And Yeshua said to him, I'm the way. I am the way, the truth, the life. Well, let's go somewhere else. He is the way. Oh, that's too tough. Well, let me ask you a question. How many gods are there? How many ways would you like? If there's only one God, hello? I mean, let's keep it simple. Now, if you believe in thousands of gods and millions of gods, then you got a problem. But if you believe there's only one God, there should be only one way. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God so loved the world, the only God, the God that created the heavens and the earth, the only living God, the true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, gives one person to the entire world, and everybody has a problem with that. Somebody say, I don't have a problem with that. I love that. I love my Father in heaven, and I love that he sent his Son to teach this dum-dum, who doesn't know the Father from his elbow, to teach me about the Father, to show me the way, to show me the truth, and to show me the life. I want to go to heaven, and I would like this mansion. I go to prepare a place for you. Oh boy, we don't know the way. He goes, hello, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Does that leave anything out? I'm the way, verse 6, the truth and the life. And then he says something very powerful. No man comes to the Father but by me. In other words, oh no, I can go to the Father without him. No, you can't. You're not going there. You're not getting in. He's it. Whether you like it or not. Like it or lump it. Take it or leave it. I mean, if there's only one God, that's it. Either he is or he isn't. Either he's telling the truth or he's the biggest liar on the planet. Somebody say he's telling the truth. You cannot get to the Father except through him. Because you cannot approach the Father without a blood sacrifice. And I don't care how many chickens you kill and swing them over your head on Yom Kippur. Orthodox Jews doing that today on Miami Beach. Killing chickens and swinging them over their heads, and the blood of a chicken ain't getting you anywhere but into a chicken coop. I call that Jewish Santeria. Because it says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. You need a blood sacrifice. And even if you had an atonement, and even if you had an animal, oops, there's no temple. Temple's gone. So even if you showed up with a lamb or a goat, no place to sacrifice it. You think God did this on purpose? So that the only blood sacrifice that you could have is through the Son, through the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world? You think he narrowed it down for you, that you had no other choice but him? I mean, so what's the problem? There shouldn't be any problem. Everything's been set up through him to get you to the Father, to get you a mansion, to get you saved, to get you through this crazy place. And everybody wants to argue with him. I don't get it. Go ahead and argue. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, it says, waiting until his enemies are made his footstool. You go against them, you know what you're going to end up? Being under his foot. Verse 7, he says, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, you know him and have seen him. What? You mean the Son of God is the reflection of the Father? I mean, our Father who is in heaven, no man has seen the Father. So how would our Father who created us, that we cannot see, manifest himself to us unless he did it through a human being? Are you with me? And why would the Father manifest himself through his Son? Because we've been created in the image of God. Except most of us have fallen so far away from the image of God, we're nothing like him. The Son would have to show up to show us, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. This is the express image of God in a person. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. This is where all the Jehovah's Witnesses are blown out the window. You're not a Jehovah Witness. You're a Jesus Witness, or you're no witness at all. And all these Yahwehs that are running around with this Jewish stuff, you're no Yahweh Witness either. You're a Jewish Jehovah Witness. And there's no such thing. Because our Father has manifested Himself through us through His Son. And He's telling you all power is given unto Him. And in His name is salvation. In His name the devils are subject to Him. And in His name the Father will send the Holy Spirit. What other name would you like? Seems to be working on all cylinders. Why would you argue against the name Yeshua? Why would you want to pick any other name? Are you with me? If I was the adversary, I want you playing with other names. I want to talk you out of the name Yeshua. I would give you some real nice explanations to make sure you get... I mean, I think he's got a billion Catholics praying to Mary. There's no power in the name of Mary. You can pray to Mary all day long. Not going to get you, but that's the mother of God. So? I mean, you want to talk to me, you're going to call my mother? Speak to your son for us. Is that how it works? Well, we now, God has given us direct contact. We want to speak to his mother. We want to pray in his mother's name. Or we want to pray in the names that God revealed himself to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Moses. Do we want to pray in those names? These people knew him by those names. None of us know him by those names. He hasn't revealed himself to us by those names. If you're born after 0 AD, the only name given to us is the name Yeshua, the name Jesus. Spanish Jesus. That's it. Take it or leave it. Well, the devil wants you to leave it. Doesn't want you to call on that name. Because the devils are subject to us in his name. God, who at sundry times and in different manner spoken time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us. How do you know you're in the last days? It just says so. People say, are you sure we're in the last days? We've been in the last days ever since the Son of God walked on this earth. We've literally been in the last days for the last 2,000 years. So I would say we're in the last of the last days. Wouldn't you say that? So on these last days, spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of everything, by whom also he made the worlds. He's not a created being. He's a co-creator. Amen? Verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory. Brightness of whose glory? Our Father who is in heaven. And the express image of his person. In other words, the Messiah, the anointed one, this Jesus person, this man, would come and represent the Father and be his express image in a human being. Why would God show us his express image as a human being to us? What's the point? Because if you make that connection and you understand that, you're going places in the kingdom of God. If you don't get that, you're not going anywhere. You're still wearing a dunce cap and sitting in a corner somewhere. You still don't get it. My people perish because they don't get it. My people perish for lack of knowledge. In other words, if you don't know this, you have no clue. You don't understand why the Son of God showed up here in this world. Go with me to Genesis 1:26. What does the Bible say? And God said, what? Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let us make man after our... God said, let us make man in our image. Let me make man in my image. So why would God send the image, his image, in the person of Jesus? To show you and I, jackasses, this is who you're supposed to be like. And if we can admit, most of us are nothing like that. I mean, that takes humility to be able to admit, I am nothing like that. What does that mean? The adversary has stolen your identity. You don't even know who you are. And you'll copy everybody else's stupidity, and you'll become a jackass like them. Oh, you're talking tough tonight. Well, to be a jackass will cost you your life. Will cost you your sanity. Will cost you your health. Will cost you your peace. You will pay with your life for that kind of error. I mean, you think that's important? And you will suffer all the days of your life until you go into the grave screaming for your mommy. I mean, it's no joke. It's serious business. I mean, you're going to live on this planet. I don't care how many rockets you get into, you ain't getting out of here. You may go up a little bit just to look down. You're coming right back here. And every day you're one day closer to death. No matter how well you eat, no matter how much exercise you do, no matter how many Botox injections you put in your face, no matter how many vitamins you take, even if you take blood transfusions, even if you eat the cords of babies, whatever it is you do, if you do hormone treatments, whatever these crazy people do trying to stay alive. And every day that you're nothing like the image of God, you're suffering on this planet above everyone else. I mean, it's serious business. If you enjoy suffering, this message is not for you. Some people like waking up every day and thinking about killing themselves and committing suicide and hating their life and being in a bad mood all the time and being a downer for everybody else. You notice you don't have any friends when you act like that. Being depressed every day. Oh, let's have some antidepressants. Maybe that'll help. I mean, no, they'll make you feel good temporarily, but you're still depressed. You're now depressed and doped up. The depression doesn't go away. That heaviness doesn't go away. Been there, done that.